You're joining us for Hacking Augmented Reality with Kinect and the Room Alive Toolkit. Alongside Andy Wilson, I'm Ben Lauer, and we're really excited. We know there's dozens and dozens of options for you, the build viewing audience, and Andy and I, we have a goal today of making this, I think, everyone's favorite session. Is that fair?
That's right, yeah.
Well, you have to let us know in the comments how we did, if we lived up to the goal or not, but we're excited to share this with you. So this is a quick look at our agenda. We're gonna talk about the perspective and how important it is to have perspective in different installations. We're gonna get right into it with projection mapping. I'm expecting that most of the people out there have heard of Kinect, but we're gonna spend 60 seconds super high level on Kinect. We're also then going to talk about, actually at that point, Andy's going to start talking about some of his research and Microsoft research, some projects. Maybe you've heard of them, Illumiroom and Room Alive. And then we're going to get into it with the Room Alive Toolkit. We're going to talk about room setup, calibration, gray codes, and also more on projection mapping and a ton of demos. So we got a lot to get through, so hold on to your seats. We're going to have some fun. So let's talk a little bit about what we mean by hacking augmented reality. So maybe you've heard of a product that Microsoft announced back in January called the HoloLens, and we talked about holograms and these really amazing immersive things that you can do there with HoloLens. But the reality is that artists have been making interactive, or I should say, they've been making visually cool, what's the French? I don't know French.
Trompe l'oeil.
Trompe l'oeil, trick of the eye effects for years. Maybe even centuries, right?
Yep.
With
paint
and chalk. So let's take a look at some of these. So shout out to Axel P. Moeller, the artist who did this, gave us permission to use these. But if you notice here, this is a parking garage that he did in Sydney. It looks as if the up and out directions are sort of floating in the air. And then the photos at the bottom show how that was actually done. So again, the perspective, very important for creating this effect. Bruss Pup gave us permission to use his YouTube video here. Again, this Rubik's Cube with the right perspective looks like an actual Rubik's Cube, and then the trick is revealed here with the rotation. And then finally, artist Edgar Mueller, thank you for letting us use your images. He does these awesome projects on sidewalks, and so it really looks like this gentleman's about to fall into this crevasse. Here's two kids having fun as they go over this waterfall. And then here, Edgar shows us how it's really done, if you're in the right position. And you can see, again, perspective playing a real important role here in these effects. So again, chalk and paint are possible. But now let's look at projection mapping. So if you look at Wikipedia, you guys can all go up and look at the Wikipedia page. I took this from there. The blowout here, the thing that I want to point out is this technique is used by artists and advertisers alike who can add extra dimensions, optical illusions, and notions of movement onto previously static objects. Static. So here's some examples, again, from the Wikipedia page. We've got this sculpture on the left. Adding these this textured look or this visual look. What I'm assuming is a casino here in the middle, drawing people in with projection mapping onto the building. And then this other church, very cool, lit up at night, again with projection mapping. But these are static. These objects don't move. Well, why is it important to talk about Kinect here? Well, we're going to add Kinect into these projection mapping scenarios here, and Andy's going to talk more about this. But with the Kinect, we can make these projection mapping experiences really interactive. And so quickly about the Kinect, if you're new to it, we have a really powerful SDK. You can program the apps in C++, C#. Actually, we were in Montreal recently for PyCon, and we announced PyConnect 2 project. It's on GitHub today. So if you're a Python developer, you can start using Kinect in your experiences. The Kinect sensor gives us data sources, we call them. We have depth, color, infrared, and even directional audio. We're not going to use the latter two here. We're really focused on depth and color. But again, the Kinect gives you all of those data sources. You can also use, if you already have an Xbox One with a Kinect, we came out with an adapter a few months ago that allows you to plug that into a PC. So you can use that. And then also on GitHub Live right now, We've got this tutorial. So if you're new to Kinect and you want to get through the entire platform, this tutorial is really, really great. It takes you through all aspects of the platform end to end, and it's up on GitHub, so you can go take a look at that. And then finally, kinectforwindows.com. If you want more information, download the SDK, check out our blog. How'd we do? I felt like about 60 seconds, but I wasn't timing it. So I think with that, I'm going to hand it over to you, Andy. Maybe you want to go over here and drive the slides.
Right on.
Talk a little bit about some of your work.
So this is just a preview of some of the things that we're going to be doing with our new new software. But what I would like to do next is get into a little bit of some of the previous work that we've done at Microsoft Research. So we've been working with projectors and depth cameras for a little while with projects such as Lightspace, Mirage Blocks, Illumiroom, Room Alive, Beamatron, and a few others. On the upper right here, there's just a quick vignette of Illumiroom, and that's an interesting one that you may have seen. It uses a single projector and a single camera. And then Room Alive down below uses actually six cameras and six projectors to actually do an entire room. We can address both of these scenarios in the software we're about to talk about. So that software is called the Room Alive Toolkit. So we're very happy to announce that today. This is basically a toolkit that allows you to do interactive projection mapping.
So but, can I just pause you for 1 second? Because sure. I just want to get this plug in about how awesome this is for me. So last fall, I went over to Andy's office and I said, hey, Andy, you guys have all this awesome stuff that you've done using Kinect. And is there some way that we can make this available to our broader developer community? And those conversations led us to where we are today. So I just want to point that out, that you were awesome to work with on this. And you know, you had done all this awesome research. And so we're really happy to be able to package that up in this toolkit and make it available.
Awesome, great. And so one of the things that we've noticed is that the people are struggling out there a little bit to do some of these Illumiroom and Room Alive scenarios by themselves. So what we're providing are some of the tools, and we support multiple Kinects and multiple projectors together in the same system. And we're focusing today mostly on the calibration aspects of it, because I think that that's one of the parts that people out there really have trouble with. Artists and creative coders and that sort of those kinds of folks have trouble with that. We're also delivering a projection mapping sample. This is a very simple little sample that shows you what you can do once you have the calibration. And it's going to be released under the MIT license. And here's the URL for the source code on GitHub. Go ahead and check that out today. And here's just a quick rundown of the components and how they fit together. It's a single Visual Studio solution. Everything's written in C#. And so we have calibrateensemble.exe, which is a program that you run to actually initiate the calibration. And it relies on a DLL here, Program Ensemble Calibration. And furthermore, we have this kinectserver.exe, which is running on each PC that's hosting a Kinect camera. Now, your app can then talk to both of these components to pick up the calibration information and also get the color and depth information from each of your cameras on the network. And we'll go into this a little bit later in more detail. This other executable projector server, this is something that we're using today in calibration.
And just a little tidbit, ProCam shortened projector camera.
That's right. Yes. So taken together, projector camera.
We like long names.
Yeah. So projection mapping, this is just a problem statement, really, just a quick way to encapsulate what it is. It's basically, if you have a Kinect sensor that's sensing the geometry of the world, and you have a viewer here that's looking at the scene, and the teapot here is projected. The problem is, given the viewer's position and the geometry sensed by the Kinect sensor and the fact that the projector is actually somewhere else in the room, what kind of image do you form on the projector such that this user from this position has the impression of there being a teapot sitting on this table? And this table could be real. So you must account for the irregularity of the projection surface, the pose of the projector, and the viewer's eye position. So that's projection mapping. This is what the artists do. And in our software, we're essentially doing what the artists have been doing, the same sorts of calculations, but doing that at 30 times a second. So this is the minimal configuration. We think a lot of people are going to be looking at this because you might have one projector and one Kinect camera. It might be less likely you have six cameras and six projectors. So it's essentially a Kinect V2 sensor plugged into a PC and a projector plugged into a PC, and you have the Kinect V2 runtime. You have this XML file, we're calling it ensemble.xml, And that includes all of the calibration information that we're going to generate with our tool. And then your application runs there, and the rendering is done locally. Now, going to M-Connects and M-Projectors, the situation gets a little more interesting, perhaps. Today, we will have support for distributing multiple Kinect sensors across the network, each plugged into its own PC. All of these guys are plugged into the same switch. And then we have the host machine again, which does all of the rendering to possibly multiple projectors. So the room diagram. So this is basically a little bit more of about the geometry of the Kinects and the projectors and how they relate to one another. So the idea is now we have a projector that projects out into the room. We have a Kinect camera looking out onto that room. We're calling this right now a projector group. That's basically a projector and all of the Kinect sensors that can see whatever that projector, some part of whatever the projector displays. So that's a projector group. Another projector out over here someplace else in the room might have another Kinect sensor next to it, possibly a second camera, and that would be another group. So these two groups are distinct. There's no way to relate the geometries of one group to the other until we actually add yet another Kinect camera. So now we have three cameras and two projectors. And now this particular camera that we just added belongs to both groups. And that's actually a critical feature of the calibration process, and that we're able to establish the geometries of the two groups together. So we're just, and so this diagram just revises these two projector groups. And so there's these groups actually overlap. So taken together, we're calling this an ensemble, the two groups. So let's look into a little bit more detail on some of the components. The ProCam Ensemble Calibration.dll is really the core of the project. It has all the calibration code in it. It's using the calibration step to acquire calibration patterns and calculate the camera parameters of Kinects and projectors. That includes quantities like the focal length and optical center of the camera, as well as the dimensions of the camera and so forth. These are things you need to know. So it also calculates the pose, that is the position and the orientation of all the Kinects and the projectors. And then we also use this DLL in runtime to basically provide ways to interact with the calibration results and pull out the things you need in order to do the correct rendering. So this is a class library. There's no UI to speak of. Now Kinect Server is another component. So it uses Windows Communication Foundation. So this is basically our tool to distribute color and depth data from each camera around the network. It has no UI today. Basically, you start it up and you forget about it. It runs on each PC with a Kinect sensor. So in my own work, I find it really handy to run a remote desktop on each of these PCs, and then you initiate the Kinect server. Here's just a real tip in your RDP options. Be sure to set the audio to play on remote computer. Otherwise, the Kinect SDK does not play very nicely, and that's a known issue in the Kinect SDK. So if you're going to launch any sort of Kinect SDK application on a remote desktop, you really need to be wary of this consideration. So obviously, it requires the Kinect from Windows V2 SDK. And it gives you access to color, depth, and the camera intrinsics. That's the focal length, the principal point, and so forth, across the network in a fairly easy way. So projectorserver.exe is another one, another component that's run on the network. And that's analogous to the Kinect server.exe. It runs on every machine that has a projector. And today, we only use that during the calibration step. And we're not delivering a distributed rendering framework today. This is basically a means to calibrate possibly many projectors. And it could be the foundation for a distributed rendering framework that we might deliver or that someone could help us out with. The idea there would be, we can do something much more like 8 projectors, 12 projectors. You probably need to get off of the same single host PC at that point. So, right, so if you have more than 3 projectors. Calibrate ensemble.exe, that's a little bit of a UI. You can actually do the calibration without any UI. The functions are all there. But to help things along and to help set up and configuration, we provide a very simple user interface as pictured here. And it allows you to run the calibration procedure, and it creates this XML file that stores the calibration info and allows you to view the results. So your application loads that XML file, and again, it does its own rendering today. We provide a simple projection mapping application that includes a bunch of Direct3D 11 shaders that do the rendering, including the projection mapping and handling the depth image and converting the depth image to world coordinates and mesh and vertex data. So calibration, again, this is all about finding the position and pose of every connect and projector along with focal length and lens distortion. The projectors display what are called gray codes, and these are observed by all the Kinect color cameras. That way they can establish the projector groups, like which cameras go in which groups with the projectors. And I'm not going to get into the details of how gray codes work. It's very interesting, but suffice it to say that what we're doing here is obtaining a series of depth camera 3D points and their corresponding position in each of the projector images. And so that's what you need in order to really perform a calibration. The calibration patterns are saved to disk. You can actually run the acquisition phase and then disconnect from your network or walk, you know, leave your lab, and then you can run the calibration procedure offline. So you don't even need access to your cameras and your projectors at that point to play around with the calibration. So let's do a quick demo of the calibration. And all right, so let's look at the demo of the calibration tool. So I'm in Visual Studio here, and I'm just going to hit Control F5 to run the tool. This is what it looks like. There's not much to see here. So the first thing we want to do is hit New. This allows us to create a new XML file. I'm just going to dial in three projectors and three cameras.
And camera is synonymous with Kinect here.
That's right, a Kinect sensor. And I'm going to create a new folder for this. All the calibration results are stored in a little folder I'm going to put here. And then I'm going to call that file I'm going to go into that folder first and then call that ensemble.xml. Okay, so that's good. So then what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to open that up in Visual Studio so that we can, so I can show you what that looks like. And let me zoom up just a little bit so we can see this a little bit more easily. So this is basically the layout of this XML file has a number of cameras and projectors listed, okay? And so for each of these cameras, it has a friendly name, which in the lab, in the example that I'm going to show you later, I have three projectors, three cameras, and I call them center, left, and right. And then the host name or address could be something like, and the machine happens to be named Room Alive Zero. And now you notice also the pose information here. This is actually a 4x4 matrix that would be familiar to anyone in using doing graphics programming. Now that's actually specified here in this file for the very first camera. The very first camera establishes the coordinate system for the entire ensemble. And so this is filled in for you. It assumes basically that the first camera is actually at this pose within the global coordinate frame. If you had some other reason to establish a different position for that camera, you could fill that information in. Now, for the other cameras,
but is it fair to say then, like, we don't expect these numbers to change post calibration? This is sort of the origin of the whole thing, and then everything else is going to be calibrated to that.
That's right. That's right. So if you had some other some other coordinate system, like, you know, the room coordinates, that, and you know, like if you were actually using this in a game scenario, you might actually have reason to edit this, but that will never change, at least for the very first camera. So the other cameras don't have any pose information. That's going to be filled in later. So I can change that, and then right, and that sort of thing, and then fill in, change this from localhost. I think it was, Room Alive 5. Room Alive 3, and then so that's it for the cameras. Now so what I'm going to do now is open up the projectors. You have the same sort of scenario here where I can fill in the friendly names for the projectors. This kind of, you don't have to change these. It's just really nice to be able to do that. And then the actual width and height here refer to the display dimensions. Those are things that will be auto-discovered by the projector server.exe. And then I'm just going to leave these as localhost right now because today we're doing local rendering. So I hit Control-S to save. I go back to my application. And then here there's a reload functionality. And then so it loads that. Now, so for the purposes of this demonstration, what we're going to do next is actually we're not going to trigger the acquisition phase. I can do that here with this option. Because we don't have the cameras and the projectors here in the studio today, I'm not going to do that. So what I'm going to do instead...
Also, we don't want to bore everyone sitting here making them wait a bunch, you know, wait while it all happens. So
that's right. But what I can do is show you a quick video of what that looks like in the lab. So when I hit calibrate acquire, this is what happens. Let me explain what's going on here. So we have three projectors. Today, in this example, these are all the same make and model. They don't have to be the same make and model. They can be different resolutions and so forth. And then three of the Kinect V2 cameras there. And these are just sort of casually placed. I didn't spend any time worrying about mounting. And then this other Kinect camera is almost not used at all, or is not even relevant for this calibration. It's actually used as a head tracking camera for a demo that we're going to show later. So don't worry too much about that one. And so we need to arrange these so that they overlap, as explained earlier. And I'll show you a little bit what that means. So play this video, and in a moment, rectangles are going to show up. That's basically just a handy feature for you to be able to view the results. So it takes a snapshot from the color camera. Now, the center projector is now projecting a series of gray codes. So these are the gray codes that you are used to establish this mapping from a pixel in the color camera to a pixel coordinate in the projected display. So that's a pretty critical feature. So now I've just sped the video up a little bit because it's kind of boring after you've seen a couple of these. So you just let this thing run, and then after a few minutes, it finishes. And so that's the acquisition phase. So at that point, we have, stop this, and I'll show you a little bit what we have with, so I'm going to switch now to this other calibration, which is, this is like a cooking show, right, where we pull the thing out of the oven and it's magically done. So we have a XML file here, which now has a bit more information. It has things like the color camera matrix and this kinds of things that are pulled off of each of the Kinect cameras. And then also we notice this directory layout. I don't know if we really want to get into the directory layout, but let me real quickly just show a couple of things. So we have a directory for each of the cameras and then a directory for each of the projectors. The camera includes things like just the color image, make that a little bit larger, and the mean depth image, and so forth. And so you can, that's kind of useful to see what's going on there. The projector directory now has a directory within it for each camera in turn. And that includes the gray codes as viewed from each of the cameras for that projector. So that's basically all stored on disk, so it's kind of a large directory. So if we move over to the left camera, you'll see that, it's a slightly skewed perspective now because you're viewing the center projector from the left camera, and so you would expect to not be able to see the entire projected camera. But it's important that one of the other cameras actually be able to see part of that projector. Okay, so that's the directory. So now at this point...
So after the acquisition phase runs, all that's created, and then the ensemble.xml is updated to have all of those intrinsics in there. And
just as the intrinsic now for the Kinect camera, the Kinect sensor. So we haven't actually performed any calibration yet. So we've just done the acquisition. We've gotten some of the information we need. Now we need to go back to the tool. I'm going to open up that particular calibration setup that we were looking at. And I'm going to load that one. And then I would now hit solve out of the calibrate menu. I'm just going to open that up. So this is kicking off now the actual calibration. And so you can see what's going on here is decoding the gray code images, pulling those off of disk for each of the views. So there's three cameras, three projectors. So that's nine sets. And that takes a little bit of time. And then the next phase, where it actually performs a bit of analysis to determine the visibility. So it says that projector center here is seen by camera center. Projector center is seen by camera left and camera right. So that's interesting. So now we have the center projector, and the projector group there of the center projector group includes all three cameras. And so this is like the bridge, the thing that establishes the glue between all three cameras and the three projectors. And we also have the left camera, the left projector and the right projector. So this next bit here shows the actual camera matrix associated with the projector. So that includes the focal length of the projector and also the center from an optics point of view, the optical center of the projector. These numbers look kind of funny. The optical center is, so this is a 1280 by 720 projector, which puts the middle of the X coordinate, the horizontal axis at about 620, which seems reasonable. But then this negative value is really interesting, and that's because when you look at a projector, the optical center is actually off screen. This is why when you put a projector down on the desktop, it actually doesn't project into the desktop, but above it. It only uses the top half of the lens. So that's why that number is negative. Anyway, this is getting into a little bit, maybe a little more detail than you need to understand the tool, but it's kind of interesting to look at these kinds of things. And the reason why we're sort of dumping this stuff out is so that we can take a look at what's going on. So that's gonna run for a while. It performs a calibration for each of the projector groups in turn. So that's gonna be running for three times. And then it actually does a much more involved global optimization over all cameras and projectors to establish, just to make sure that everything's nice and tight. So I'm gonna let that run now for a little while. But what I can do while that's running is, because this is actually a fully baked, what I think I'll do is stop this calibration just by exiting the program and then reloading that one. Then I'll show you a little bit of the results, which are kind of fun to look at. So this other pane, which I haven't mentioned, is showing you, remember it flashed up those images for each projector that had the projector name. It also has the reticle for each of those. So we have, so I can use WASD and the mouse to rotate, also E and C to move up and down in the scene. So this shows us the data that's collected, the color and the depth data merged for for all three projectors and cameras. And so you get an idea of the quality of the registration. It's not too bad. You know, we're not doing any color calibration, so there's a little bit of color mismatch because each camera has its own white balance. So that's something we can look at in the future. So then this menu up here deserves some comments. So right now this graphics pane here is under a fairly traditional perspective graphics camera. But because we know the camera matrix for each of the projectors, we can actually dial in a completely different projection matrix that goes with each of the projectors. And so I think this is a really interesting view. It sort of shows you the quality of the registration for the projector, because what this view shows you is the view of the room from the projector's point of view. Now, because it's a color image acquired from the Kinect sensor, that image was actually acquired from some other place, right? Not at the same place as the projector. It could be on the other side of the room. And so we're using all of the math that we just did to synthesize what that image would look like from the projector's point of view. So these words here, the center, and then this reticle here, the sort of running along the outside, is not rendered by this graphics this routine here, but is really captured and baked into the color image. So we would, if everything's working really well, we would expect this reticle now to line up fairly precisely with the edges of the frame, because of the perspective, the projection matrix is basically set to match that of the projector. So if that's all very difficult to follow, I think the thing to look at is the fact that when I match the projection of the projector, I'm using the word projection in two different senses, it was a little bit confusing. we now have a fairly decent alignment. So we can also check out the same thing for the left projector and then for the right projector. So everything's looking really good, and it's pretty tight, actually, as these things go. So I think that is enough demo for of the calibration tool. And I'm going to turn back to our, let's see, hold on, turn back to the presentation and to find where we were. And so what I'd like to do now is show a quick, yeah, so there, show a quick, a couple of demos from our sample. So what we've done is deliver a very simple projection mapping sample that shows two main effects. So the calibration phase is like sort of completely separate from the projection mapping, but we think a lot of people are going to be using the calibration results to do projection mapping, as with Room Alive and Illumiroom. So one of the more popular effects in Illumiroom was this wobble effect. So when you actually fired your gun in the game, the whole world would kind of distort momentarily. It's really kind of this interesting effect, and it was done basically by taking the color image as sensed by the Kinect sensor, which was done offline, and then projecting that back with a little bit of edge enhancement and color enhancement, and then distorting it in a sort of interesting real-time fashion. So I basically very quickly re-implemented that for this setup. So in Illumiroom, we just used one camera and one projector. Here we're actually using three, so we're getting a similar kind of effect, but on a broader scale, so it encompasses more of the room. Now, I don't have the audio or the game or anything like that, so it's a little contrived maybe, but it does give you an idea of some of the alignment, so the quality of alignment and some of the things that we can do. So, of course, instead of a wobble effect, you could imagine doing any sort of artistic shading on your environment. So this is not a live image, where this is just a baked image, as with Illumiroom. So we're not taking live data here from each of the sensors and then projecting that back. But we'll demonstrate that in a moment. So the second example is the 3D object rendering. So this is more about rendering a 3D object hovering in space in front of you and doing the correct view-dependent rendering for that. And then, so using the very same projection mapping shader as we use for the wobble effect, but now rendering a 3D object. So the geometry here is very simple. The sample includes an OBJ file loader. There's nothing terribly interesting about that. That's not really the point. What we're doing here, so now we're using this camera to actually do a bit of head tracking. So it's a pretty pretty easy way to get going with head tracking, view-dependent rendering. You just feed that in as the head position. And then as I move around, I get to see different parts of the model. And notice also that the center projector, I set it up so that it projects into the corner of the room, which in some ways is like kind of the most difficult scenario. You know, normally you set up a projector, it projects onto the a flat wall in your room. Here we're actually projecting right into the corner. But for a little bit of distortion there in the corner, it actually looks pretty straight. These lines look pretty straight and the view looks correct. And notice also that it's quite a large display. I mean, it encompasses quite a big part of your visual field of view. So that's the sum of our.
And I would just say, like, even though we're shipping both of those as a single sample, I think you could also say those are two different samples because they're just very different. But we've just packaged those up right now and
that's
putting
right.
them in as a single sample in there.
That's right. Well, they use the same suite of Direct3D shaders. And so it's actually, there's a lot more common to each of these samples than you might think. So the basic calculation that it's doing is pretty much the same.
Yeah, and one thing to add is that with the 3D object rendering that we're looking at here, I wasn't actually in the lab when you were shooting the video, but if I ran through the scene in there, or if I got in there and jumped in, you would see this object then projected not only on the walls and on the furniture, but also onto me.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thanks for mentioning that. It's a really important point to remember that in this particular example, the depth and color, well, actually just the depth information in this case, is being read in from each of the three cameras in real time. So that if somebody walked into the scene and moved this chair, for example, it would update in real time. You wouldn't, the viewer would not really notice the difference. It would just sort of take that in stride. And I think that's one of the ways that this system differs from some of the projection mapping software that's out there already. Typically, with the projection mapping software out there, it's not a 3D problem. It's like you've taken a, you know the position of the camera. You're shooting a large building, say, or a church, as in the example we showed. The church isn't moving, and so you can establish really what amounts to a 2D transform that maps the desired view to the different components of the church facade. And so that's in some sense an easier problem than what we're doing here. On the other hand, having the 3D data from Kinect also makes some of these calculations quite easy to do. It's really a question of finding the correct graphics transforms, coordinate transforms to make all of this stuff possible. So it's interactive projection mapping, interactive in the sense that you can go in and move things around, and it's all being done. Every frame is essentially a new problem. We're doing, again, as I said earlier, we're doing that projection mapping problem that artists have done essentially at video rate. So that's the sample. Just a quick few words about future work before we close. There's lots to be done. You know, the source code is certainly still very much in flux, and I'm making changes all the time. But some of the higher level things that would be nice to see, right now we have a Kinect server implementation that really is just tuned so that I can get the calibration work done. It's not a full implementation. There's lots of things missing, like there's no support for the body tracking and the server, the IR image and that sort of stuff. That's pretty easy. We could put that in anytime. Something a little more challenging and probably interesting to a lot of people out there is support for Unity. So we, in our own work, we say with Room Alive and some of the other newer projects, we've been moving some of our rendering to Unity, and that entails some interesting challenges in working with all of this stuff. But we're using the same calibration routines, and so the idea would be to have a Unity 3D plugin that allows us to read in that XML file and then use all of Unity's goodness in terms of rendering and loading models and animation and so forth. And that's really nice, because then you can take all the calibration stuff that you've done and then throw this at an artist and somebody who really knows how to generate assets. And they can, as we've seen in our own work, they can make progress very quickly. A harder thing is doing proper blending. If you go back and look at some of the videos we just showed, you'll notice that we don't handle the case where the two projectors overlap very well. They project twice over that scene, so you'll actually see some brighter images or brighter areas there where we're actually projecting twice over the same little area. Now that's something that I think really needs to be addressed. Now there are other people that have looked at projector blending, and if you wanted to set up a bunch of projectors and then project onto a flat surface, this is a little more challenging here now because everything is in 3D, and as we were just talking about, everything is interactive 3D. Things can change, and so it's not a question of finding a single static way to carve up the projected images. You actually have to change that in real time, because as things move, forwards and backwards in front of the camera, that the place where you would want to carve up the projection actually changes. So it's a harder problem, and that's something that would have to be computed sort of on the fly, perhaps best computed in one of the shaders. So I think the harder thing actually is to nail the color calibration. I think it's pretty obvious in some of the examples that the color, we're not handling color calibration at all. So there's a couple of issues there. One is the color calibration of the projection, color calibration of the cameras. Right now the cameras all have their own white balance, and we need to nail that down. Another perhaps more interesting problem is the fact that when we're projecting onto real world environments, like say the couch or your rug, the wall, whatever, it would be nice to actually compensate for the surface reflectance and the color of those objects when we're actually generating graphics. We did a little bit of that in the Luma Room. It was very simplistic. There are much more interesting and capable models out there. We've got none of that stuff right now in the Room Alive toolkit, and so that's something that would be nice to add. So anyway, let's go out there and start projection mapping. There's the URL again for the source code, and show us what you create. Send us a tweet or however communication mode you like. We're open to feature requests, issues, and pull requests. And again, here's the Connect V2 SDK URL, and I think that's all we've got today.
I think there's one more plug that I forgot to make earlier. If you go out to projection-mapping.org, right?
Oh yeah.
It's a group of guys that have done, and they're doing a really awesome job bringing all these cool images and videos of people doing very cutting edge projection mapping work. So again, projection-mapping.org if you want to get some inspiration and see some of the things that people are doing in this space.
Yep, great.
Yeah, so thanks again for watching, and please check out the project on GitHub. Let us know your comments, and hopefully you have some fun with interactive projection mapping.
Great, awesome, thank you.